we're staying alive. And today I've got the man that's helping us all stay alive, George McKinney with Emergency Management Services. How you doing today, George?
Doing well, Ann, doing well.
Well, how's the state of our county?
Well, it's in very good shape right now. We're pressing on. I think we've got 12 confirmed cases right now. Out of that remaining is probably about 9 cases that are still around probably. So we're still doing well. We're working. We're still preparing. Hopefully the surge has already passed, but if it hasn't, we're prepared for it. And continuing on to improve our positions, as we used to say in the military, until we have to be ready for it, until the next event.
Well, I think there's a lot of questions, and maybe you can answer some of the questions, about the governor's orders that came down. I think that's a question that a lot of people have about. Mm-hmm. I've been asked things like, are the cops going to be on every street corner checking you to see where you're going, and church on Sunday, how that's going to be handled since it's Easter. What can you tell us, George?
And that's a good point, and that's one of the things that's very important. He did put out the stay-at-home or work order, and what that means is we should, what I call it, social distance on steroids, and and we should just make sure that if we are just going to our workplaces, we're going home. If we need to go out and buy essential goods, or we have to need to go over and see our family or something of that nature, we do that, and we just stay that, and we use good social distancing. We can go out and exercise, things of that nature, because we need that. We need to get outside. We need to take care of ourselves in that sense, too. So I know those four walls around the house will get small, and in the office too, so it's very important that we get out and about and do our exercise, and that's really what he's asking us to do, and it's very important that we do that. We're trying to slow this curve so we don't over impact our health care system, and then we do have a real issue, so it would not only impact those that have COVID, but it could then impact those that don't and have other serious injuries. So that's what the governor's trying to do, and I think it's a very measured response to where we're at and need to be right now.
And our older populations should definitely stay at home if they
correct
can.
And that is I've been saying that from the beginning. I have an 80-year-old mother, and I've kept her in the house except for let her go out and walk around on her place and her and the farm, and she's doing a little bit of gardening, and I go get the stuff for her, and we go and see her and work with her. I don't see her as much as I'd like, but I'm out in the
I wonder why, George.
I'm out in the bout with the public a lot more, so I try to social distance, and when we get there, I haven't been able to hug my mom in about 4 or 5 weeks now,
it's tough.
Still get to see her. It's tough, but we will get through this, and it's just things that we've got to do right now, and we're working through it.
Now, as far as this thing about wearing masks, what are you seeing, or what have you been told?
I've seen it work, and really that is a good process. Two reasons, I think. One is that it number one, if you are having something, a sneezing or something like that, is keeping that a little bit more contained. It's not keeping it all in, and it will not keep the virus out. But if you're not washing your hands as much and you're not doing that, it's going to help keep your hands away from your mouth and nose a lot more. Not necessarily your eyes, but definitely your hands and mouth and nose. So that's another good process. And I do encourage people, another way to train yourself not to touch your face and stuff is to wear gloves. Even if you don't have plastic gloves, it's a good thing to just wear some gloves or something that will help you remember. And we're creatures of habit.
We
do that. I know I've found myself doing that. And so what I've done is I've worked hard on not touching my face and my mouth and stuff like that.
So. Have you ever noticed that, when your hands are totally clean, right? Like maybe you've just washed them, or you've used a Clorox wipe or something, you don't have any desire to do it.
Yeah.
But darn, go in somewhere and come back out and go, God, I think I want to scratch my face. No, not until you wash your hands, Ann.
Yes, that's it. So, yeah. And that's the reason we need to work at those things. And that's a good reason for the mask. The mask will help also help you do that, but it'll also help you keep that colds and stuff back to yourself too. But, kind of a little bit back to what we were talking about on the governor's order, that's one of the things that we're asking, that people, if you have questions about what's going on, please do not call 911.
Well, Who do you call, George?
You can call me at 942-8553, but the better place is to go if you're dealing with a business and you're not sure if you're essential or non-essential or if you can work today or whatever. The best number to call is the Commerce Line. That number is 803-734-2873. Or if you have questions about the COVID itself or something or your health or whatever, the best line to call there is the DHEC helpline, health helpline is what it is. And it's 855-472-3432. Now, I know one of the things on the Commerce Line, we spoke about this morning on our conference call. They are working through stuff. They are getting so many calls that voicemail is getting full. And so what they're asking people to do is continue to try to get through, and they will work with you. They're working that as quickly. If you don't have to call and you want to go online, they do have the capability to go onto their website, and you can ask the questions and stuff through there as well.
They have a chat. They have a chat? Is that what you're saying?
It's not a chat. No.
Or just look for the question.
It will have when you go into it, if you put in commerce help, what will come up is there's a survey that will ask you, allow you to put your questions and stuff in, and then they will get back with you from that standpoint. So, but they are working to try to expand their capabilities down there for people to call in, because not all individuals have that capability of going online and stuff. So they are working through that. So, and another question that if you have about services, or if you need stuff, or if you're not certain, I know I've had some call in about where's baby formula or stuff of that nature, you can call 211 at the United Way. That is a very good resource. They have lots of businesses and different organizations and nonprofits and profits that will have signed up for that, and they will be able to direct you into the right place.
And they also do English and Spanish. It's
correct.
In several languages.
Correct, yep. Yes. So you can do, it's very good for you to do that. That's a good place to go get information. But if all else fails, call 942-8553, and we'll work with you and try to get that through to you as well. But 211 or the Commerce Line or the DHEC Health Helpline.
Give me those numbers afterwards. I'll do a little PSA, and we'll put it on the air for numbers for people to call.
That would be good. That would be great. And just to kind of dispel some rumors that are out there that are going right now, too, is we are not under a curfew. There is no curfew out there. If you're going
to
work,
it's not under martial law. Is that what you're saying?
That we're not under martial law. We are. There's no curfew in Greenwood County. No one has established any curfews in Greenwood County. I know it was kind of misleading a little bit. Everybody thought at 5 o'clock everybody had to be in their house and stuff. That is not the fact. Only reason that happened yesterday was that was a time for the governor to allow the businesses to kick off, make sure they've got everything squared away with their employees and stuff on 5 o'clock yesterday when this first started. And so that was the only reason for 5 o'clock in his order. There is no rules that say you have to be in your house at 5 o'clock or anything of that nature.
So, okay, I'm going to ask this question because it has been asked of me a couple of times.
Okay.
So, riding around in my PPV, my personal protection vehicle, is okay.
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
As long as you're doing those essential things and going from right there, it's fine. Or if you need to get out of the house for a few minutes, but you shouldn't have 15 people in your car with you. You should have,
not a party vehicle.
That's
is that
right.
what you're, or a party
that,
bus. No party buses,
no party
folks.
Buses and stuff. And just driving around and then back to your house, you will be fine. Unless you're breaking some type of law, and I did talk to the sheriff's office today about that. He said there's no reason for them to stop you from just riding in your car. I mean,
your PPV.
Your PPV. Personal protective vehicle. There you go. And stuff. If you're doing that, then they're not going to be stopping and asking for your papers. Once again, this is not martial law. So they will be, working with you now. They are going around. If they see large groups of individuals congregating, they are going up and asking them to disperse if they're not a family member, a group from the same residence is what they're saying. So just be aware of that, because they're wanting to make sure that people that don't congregate more than three there, and they're being very selective on that. So just be aware of that, them going around to do that as well.
I have noticed that I was at Publix this morning, and they are now counting the number of people that go in, and they have lines set up. If there becomes a line when they have too many people, they will only let X amount in and X amount out at a time. So they are doing that now.
Yeah, and that's one of the orders, that part of the orders that was there. I think, I'm not sure the total.
20% of their.
20% of the fire marshal's agreement are. One or five people per 1,000 square feet,
something,
or whichever
like
is smaller,
yeah,
is what I think it was in the governor's order. And so that's very good. Just a little bit more now. We'll have to take our time and be a little bit more patient. So that's one of the things we'll have to work
toward. You know, I think the other thing, too, George, is, you know, you don't have to take the whole family right now to go grocery shopping.
And that's right. That's true. I mean, that's one of the things. I will tell you, one of the things that I do every day since I'm out in the public and having to work at the office and going around different places, first thing I do when I get home is I take my clothes off and I go take a shower. And that's before I even go talk to my wife or anything like that, so that we're kind of social distancing the potential for germs getting in the house. And we have what we call a dirty room, and that's where our clothes go whenever we come out from the public. And that's one of the things I recommend to the public, is doing that. I think CPW will like us a little bit more for that too, because if you're on their water system, you'll be using a little bit more. But I think it's one of the things that we have to look at in how we change and how we operate right now, and to help to slow this
How do you think our state is doing, George?
I think you
see the numbers, and that it doesn't seem that big to me. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the total numbers that we've got across, I think it's about 2,500 right now, and you think that and that's confirmed, and they're saying we could have as much as 15 to 20,000 people possibly that have not been tested because they are asymptomatic or something. So if you even look at that number and compare it to the 5 million people that are in South Carolina, that is a very small number when you start thinking about the total across there. So we're doing well. I think some of these things that we have that are different than other locations, I mean, if you kind of look at the big areas where we do have lots of concentration, it's in the cities, in the larger cities. And I think we're a little bit more of a rural county, but
state,
also state,
right,
too. And so that
Columbia,
tends
to, Charleston, those, yeah, are the,
and
maybe Greenville.
And Greenville are the largest ones that are having those. And so we are somewhat of a social distancing crowd, if you will, anyway. I'm not saying we don't like neighbors or something like that, but we are more rural, so we do have it a little bit more open.
Give me space.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Mm-hmm. So, now, all of these orders are through the end of the month, or is this latest one open-ended? Or?
That's a good question. I think it's open-ended, but I will have to check on that and find out. I think he is extended out through the end of the month, but I'm not certain on that. I'll have to get back with you on that one, Ann.
All right. We'll have you back on.
Okay.
Now, this is another one that has been a question for people. Is churches. This Easter, it's going to be a lot different for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. What is the governor saying about that?
He has said that you need to do the best you can for when you have church services, to stream it, if you can stream it live so that people can watch it from their home. That would be the best thing. And not everybody has that capability. I've had quite a few churches here call me even before the governor's announcement here and say, hey, what we would like to do is have a parking lot service, and where people come up in their cars, they'll roll down their windows, they'll park, but we'll stand out on the church steps or the front of the church and stuff, and use a bullhorn or something to do it, or stream it through their Wi-Fi so people can pull it up on their phone or something like that.
But they can have that sense of community.
That's right. That's there. Now, and the governor said, if you can't do all of that, he said, you know, you can go in, but we really encourage you to social distance, people wearing masks, keep as open a space between everybody, 6 feet if you can, in the churches and stuff of that nature. So it's there. You can do this, but we just, like I say, we've got to think outside the box. And I think I know most of the churches are doing that and thinking about how the best way they can still serve their parishioners, but yet also still be able to keep them safe. And I think that's a great thing.
Absolutely. So, as far as what else is going on, I know that we still have all of our restaurants still closed down. We have all the stores basically closed down. What are we thinking futuristically? Do you have any idea futuristically how we're going to do this?
Well, what we're hearing right now is we may hit our peak. Most likely we'll hit our peak somewhere at the end of April, 1st of May. And I think that's the reason most of these orders and things have been pushed to the end of April, 1st of May to kind of do that. And I one of the things we're looking at and our concern is that we could have quite a few individuals that are infected, up to 3,500 individuals that could have the need for hospital beds, additional 3,500. It's not just that's 3,500 COVID patients. That doesn't include the other individuals that are needed out there and stuff of that nature. So what the state has been working on is been working on a plan for a medical surge. We've been working with the National Guard the last 3 days trying to pull that together with SELF, and we're working through that process now so that we have that capability when this if we do need it. And so we hope to have that set up here in the next week or so and have that available for us. So those are some of the things that are going there. Even if we do hit our surge peak on May 1st, you know, we have that potential for, you still got to have that glide down. It's not going to be one of these that is just automatically on the 1st of May, everything goes away. It's going to take us a little while longer to get past that. So some of the things we got to look at is that we do have the potential for a little while longer in that process. So just to be aware that as we go forward, that still we're in here for a little while longer, but there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Okay, George.
Yes, ma'am.
I came up with a song here this morning. It goes something like this. Oh, how I long for a restaurant table where they bring me coffee and tea.
Oh, my God.
And then it goes on. I won't sing you any more of it right now. But you know, one of the things that I heard, I think it was on TV last night, is that they really might say that masks are going to be something that are going to be here for a long time. And even after we start opening this up, keeping people wearing masks to help protect from anything being able to spread, because it doesn't look like, even though they have it in high gear, a vaccine could be coming anytime soon.
That's true. I would look, we're kind of in our normal now to some degree, maybe not with all the closures and stuff, but some of the social distancing that we will still need to do, in the sense of, you know, if we go and the restaurant's open, maybe there is a limited number that they will allow in at times. So it's going to be a little bit different for a while, and we can get through it. We just got to be patient and work through the processes. I know it's not something easy, but I'm sure we can get through it.
I'm sure we can, too. It's just, you know, George, this has been a long time already. It seems, George.
Yeah, it does. Well, it does seem like a long time. It's hard to believe I mean, missed all the whole month of March, really.
You know, I get there to the end of the day, and I go, so, where are we going for dinner? And then I go, oh, we're not, Ann.
Yeah. Well, you can still go pick it up.
Right, yeah. I know, but, yeah. You know, I like going out.
I understand. You know, I understand.
Yeah. So, anyways, what other, as far as how is the hospital doing? I mean, you know, Greenwood Mills is now making masks and everything.
Correct.
What a changeover for them.
Oh, yeah, and there's lots of different organizations and businesses that have started doing different things, and that's one of the great things about America, I think, is we see an issue and we're able to find ways to solve that. And, I mean, Greenwood Mills jumped on early in the way and was talking with the hospital on finding out how to make the masks best, how to make the gowns, and they're making gowns for the hospital as well, and not only just the hospital there. We have opened this up to all other different agencies, made this aware, as well as lots of other companies as well, too, that have stepped up and have started doing things that help out. So, that's true. And doing those type things, I mean, I was very impressed even with the ladies from home making masks and stuff.
Diana Carver, one of them, has done over 1,000 masks with her group. Pretty impressive. Others have too. I just know Diana.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't know all of them, but I know that's some of the things that have been out there. And that's the type of things that we've got to do. And we got to work together. And as a community, we can defeat this virus. I mean, but it's going to take us all. And so that's, as we go through it, we just need to be aware of what we can do and do what we can do.
Absolutely. So I just had a question come in from Chris.
Okay.
He says, if we take a tornado shelter, is social distancing still needed?
You need to do what you need to do to save your life first. That is the first thing that I would recommend you do. If you do have a tornado shelter and you do share it with others, definitely mask and stuff, but save yourself from the first threat first. And the tornado is probably more threatening at that moment. So that would be mine that I would look at. So, yes, I do agree with that. That's a good question, though. We don't know, but I would say that would be my thought process if I was doing that.
Absolutely. Okay. So as we move forward here, is there anything else you'd like to share with us that maybe is coming down the pikes, things that people should be aware of that maybe we haven't touched on today?
It's just as we go through, there's going to be changes as we come through this. So you've just got to be flexible and understand those changes. I'm not saying there will be negative changes, but there will be changes. I will tell you, this process is changing daily for me in the office, and we work through those changes with the state and getting things done. But that's the biggest thing that I've seen here is that we're all willing to work together, and that's a great part about it. And that's what we've got to do here. And so as far as anything new other than that coming down.
Well, how about that emergency thing that went out yesterday that was on everybody's phone and everything?
Yeah.
What was that all about?
That is the normal process that you would get information out through the Emergency Management Division, or even some counties have that capability to do that. If I need to get it done, I go to the State Emergency Management Division, and they can touch everybody or any radio stations or anything internal to Greenwood County specific. And what they'll do is they reach out across there, and that's the it's called now IPAWS, which is the Integrated Public Alert and Warning System, and it takes the old EAS as part of that, but it also now brings in the telephone systems, wireless telephones, you know, your cell phones and stuff of that nature, as well as television and radio and other forms of media out there to be able to get information out. And that is something that we've used twice now in this process. I think they did it the first time around the 1st of April, I think, was the first one. And then they did this other one yesterday once the governor's order was taking effect.
All right. So we got a couple minutes left here. So maybe we just should go back through number one, calling 911 for just
call 911 for emergencies only. That's what it's there. We have quite a few calls that are coming in now that are just questions. If you do have questions, if it is something along the lines of if my business is going to be open or should I be there, the best place to call there is your business first. But then if you're a business in itself and you're trying to determine if I'm essential or whatever, the best place to go is to the Commerce phone number, which is 803-734-2873. If you have questions about what can provide help here in the region, Greenwood County, even it helps in Abbeville too, I would call 211 United Way, tell them what the issue is, what you're looking for, and they can look through the process and try to and get someone for you on that. And then finally, if you have questions about COVID or if you're concerned about COVID as far as that goes, when you need help or if you need to contact someone, you call the DHEC health care line, which is 855-472-3432. And if you're trying to report some issues that that you may feel that are need to be looked into from the sheriff's office or the police department, you can kind of call Crime Stoppers if you want to and put it in there, or you can call the sheriff's office directly and let them know, and that number is 942-8600. And if it's not an emergency, okay, if it's an emergency, call 911.
Yeah, I've actually, at some point, this may not have been right, I didn't have the sheriff's number, but I've called 911 and said, this is not an emergency. If you need to talk to somebody else, I'm okay, but I couldn't get the right number. So
the 942-8600 is the best, is that number, or Crime Stoppers if you want to do it anonymously.
Okay.
And we have had some of those calls come in, and the sheriff's office and police departments have gone out and checked on those. So if you're wanting to do that, that's the best way to contact them.
Okay. All right. So we've got numbers to call. We've got, now, one more thing. I think we got a couple minutes left. You know, this checking on your neighbors during this time, and you the last time you were on, and we got a lot of comments about how you and your neighborhood have set up a kind of a buddy system.
Correct. Yes.
Let's just talk about that, because this is the time that this would be a good thing to implement.
That's definitely. And we have our coffee. It's the coffee club is what was there in the neighborhood already. So we just built off of that. And they are contacting the individuals that are elderly and having to stay in and checking on them. And so far, we've been able to help them out with small stuff, just get a little bit of groceries here or there and stuff. So it's a great thing. And plus, you don't know, especially now, people aren't out as much. Excuse me, pollen.
Yes, I understand.
People aren't getting out as much, so you're not sure if they're there. So calling them and, you know, and just talking with them is a great thing. We need that social interaction as humans, so that's a great process, too. If nothing else, just have your group get together just two at a time and talk, and that's a great thing. And so we're working through that process in the community, and we're adding some individuals that have agreed to help with us as well. So that's
thank
something.
You, our little community, and check those people down on the end of the street. And
that's right.
Try to set up something so that they can be safe, and it really makes you feel good when you're doing something for the community.
That's it. That's it. Like I say, it's going to take the community to get past this. So
absolutely. Well, you have been listening to George McKinney. Now, George, if people want to call and talk to you, you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. What is the best number for people to call?
It's 942-8553, and we have people that are manning that from 8:30 to 5 o'clock daily. If you call in after hours or stuff, it will ring over to a couple other lines before it goes to voicemail, and you can leave them a voicemail as well. But we are working that during the day, so if you have a question, please call in. I may not be able to get to you right then, but we'll get a message from you, and we'll get back in touch with you.
Absolutely. And I need to report on something very important, George. Here on WCRS, you know we've been doing our peanut butter drive. Mm-hmm. I weighed up the peanut butter. We have over 220 pounds of peanut butter here for the Salvation Army. We're going for 500 pounds, so I still need more peanut butter.
Okay.
More peanut butter.
Let's bring it in.
Now bring it in. More peanut butter. It'll be for the Salvation Army. They are very low on funds and very low on food, and peanut butter is a great way to stretch the budget. If you can bring me a pound and a half of peanut butter, I will give you a Frank's car wash to deluxe car wash for doing that. So that's a little incentive. Please bring it to us. You can drop it off out front. You can call me on the phone. I'll run out and give you your car wash. Don't even have to come in. But God bless you. And for all of you that have contributed, thank you very much. If you can see it in your heart to contribute some more, I want 500 pounds of peanut butter here at WCRS. Thank you so much, and God bless. George, thanks so much for taking some of that precious time and coming in and talking to us today.
Thanks for having me, Ann.
Absolutely.